Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A U.S. official says five Americans killed in a Chinook helicopter that went down in Afghanistan were apparently hit by a rocket-propelled grenade, an indication the insurgents waited till it was close to shoot at it. The Taliban claims the shootdown, not yet confirmed. It follows the shootdown of another helicopter in Iraq on Monday.
I'm Barry Bagnato at the Pentagon. The helicopter crash that led to the deaths of eight American soldiers was most likely caused by enemy fire. Joint Chiefs Operations Director Brigadier General Perry Wiggins says the investigation continues.
But it does look like this was a complex attack.
Insurgent tactics keep changing, he says.
We continue to adjust our flight maneuvering and our routes to not become predictable.
Two of the soldiers died in Monday's crash. Six others were killed trying to get to the scene.
Makes you think, this whole tuberculosis in the plains thing. With the incidence of TB that thumbs its nose at drugs up all around the world, people realize they might encounter it on a plane, in a train, in the office building lobby, in restaurants, all over.
Move to a different seat. What else can you do?
Not much I can do about it, truthfully. I mean, I've got to get where I'm going, and I mean, I would hope they could do better screening at the gates or whatnot.
But it's totally uncomfortable.
Health officials say someone must have an active infection to spread it. Exposure is not enough. But if you do get it, it is dangerous. That's why they're trying to find 80 passengers who sat within five rows of the man with TB, now quarantined. We are a peaceful country, right?
The most peaceful region in the world is Western Europe. The most peaceful country, Norway. The Economist magazine considered how many wars the country fought in recent years, weapon sales, crime at home, and prison population. So out of 121 countries, the United States is 96th, just a little more peaceful than Iran at 97th. The least peaceful country in this list is Iraq.
CBS's Dan Revive. Turns out, Kobe Bryant isn't so sure he wants to leave the Los Angeles Lakers after all. This was on KLAC today.
You know, I can only hope that they do something, you know, because I don't want to go no place else. I don't want to. You know, I want to stay here. I hope they can do something.
A few hours earlier on ESPN, he said he had no choice but to ask to be traded away by the Lakers. This is the week when kids put us adults in our PLACES.
Perstringe. P-E-R-S-T-R-I-N-G-E.
The National Spelling Bee in Washington, one of the most pressure-packed competitions of any kind every year. A champion should be crowned tomorrow night. One of the feel-good stories of the month in Cottonwood Heights, Utah. Three generations will graduate someone from high school. Brittany Wright is 17. Her dad, James Nunley, gets his diploma. And her grandpa, Jim, age 72, who quit school to raise a family in 1953. Will finally get his. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 112 points, NASDAQ up 20, oil $63.49 a barrel, up 34 cents. This is CBS News.
How can students improve their test scores? Well, there's tutoring, cramming, perhaps praying. We suggest throwing a brick at the problem. No, really. Talk to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We can turn piles of bricks into amazing schools, specially designed to inspire and motivate students and to optimize their learning and success. Talk to an AIA architect, and don't wait till the night before the test. AIA, good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
For Jason Stedman, it's not easy getting ahead at work. The competition, rough. The politics, cutthroat. And everyone thinks Jason doesn't have what it takes. Until his rivals go down, one by one. Could it be that Jason's got killer instinct? Killer Instinct, the explosive New York Times bestseller, now in paperback from Joseph Finder. Get Killer Instinct from St. Martin's Paperbacks. Business is war. You need Killer Instinct.
Did the reputed KKK man help kill two black teenagers in 1964? Jury selection continues tomorrow in the long-awaited trial of James Ford Seal. Reporter Jerry Mitchell at the Clarion Ledger newspaper in Jackson, Mississippi.
It may be difficult to pick a jury just from the standpoint of people who've either heard about the case, read about the case, seen something on TV about the case, and just the matter of just preconceived beliefs.
Jury selection has been very slow so far. Nearly a third of potential jurors excused for the typical work or medical problems. A really, really big toll collector in India has drivers complaining. But who's going to do anything about it? It's an elephant, smart enough to block the road and wait till you roll down the window. Won't let you pass till you do it either. Then the big tusker sticks his trunk in, rummages around looking for food, fresh vegetables, bananas, eats what it finds, and then lets you drive on. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I'd never gone through commercial real estate experiences before, and there was a lot I did not understand.
I bring my knowledge, my background, and my experience to the table.
Our realtor was able to really hone in, and that's when we found our space.
Working with my realtor saved me a lot more than money. It saved me time. It saved me aggravation.
Work with a realtor, someone who knows the commercial real estate market and can guide you through the process. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Definitely a smart business decision to use the realtor.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
I'm going to say eight words you won't believe. Buying a used car should not be painful. Now, here are four words that prove it. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get APR financing on all certified used Honda Accord and Pilot models. Made you a believer, didn't I? Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda. Honda certified used cars.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Live from the left coast, I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Back in the saddle after a few days off and a long Memorial Day weekend spent on the eastern seaboard. I had a great time, except for the air travel. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Also, I did suffer listening to Sean Hannity trying to get a traffic report in Providence, Rhode Island last week. And that was pain and suffering. I think I'm going to sue Fox and see if I can get damages.
You know what I mean? Let's do the wild ride.
Wow. I'm delighted to be back with you. I want to thank Tony Truppiano for sitting in for me. And by the way, he would have been live yesterday, but there were electronic difficulties with his telephone line coming out of Detroit. And it's ironic because I was changing planes in Detroit at the very time the problem surfaced, and I was unable to do anything about it, even though I am the voice who dispatches telephone repair trucks for Michigan Bell. It's just one of those little projects I did years ago, and unable to make it all work to save the program yesterday, so you had repeated repeats, and I apologize if you're tired of those programs. But it gave some people a chance to hear them for the first time. And I want to thank Brian Urban for keeping the program on the air in my absence. He worked hard, and yesterday was particularly trying. Lots to talk about today. You know, you often hear about the men and women serving in uniform in Iraq. We're going to talk to one of those women who served, Kelly Daugherty, member of the Colorado National Guard, now a co-founder of Iraq Veterans Against the War. She'll be joining us in about a half an hour to talk about the public resignation of Cindy Sheehan and also her reaction to the Democratic strategy that led to the president's victory in the extension of the funding for the occupation of Iraq. Coming up next hour, Dar Jamail returns to our program, and he recently was in Lebanon. I want to get him to comment on the showdown in Tripoli between the Sanyura government and the group called Fatah al-Islam. And in particular, I want his take on the extent to which they are linked to al-Qaeda, if at all. So we'll get that coming up next hour. Also, Sibel Edmonds, a very principled American, a whistleblower who is paying a terrible penalty for trying to expose wrongdoing at the FBI when she worked there. She'll return to our program along with Luke Ryland and talk about her efforts to get Henry Waxman, the congressman, to honor his pledge to call a hearing and let her testify in public. And lots to talk about in our third and final hour in the Free Speed Zone. We'll open up the phone lines to hear from you on the Sheehan move and many other issues. But to kick off our show today, we turn to investigative reporter and respected journalist Robert Dreyfus. He has a powerful new article in the brand new edition of the American Prospect, and you can read it online at prospect.org, their website. Bob Dreyfus, welcome to the show today.
Always good to be here from the, well, from the right coast, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to tell us your location today?
At the present moment, I'm sitting in a little office in a law firm at DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
waiting to hear Zbigniew Brzezinski tell us how to get out of Iraq.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. He has a book out that we got a copy of. We've never been able to get the interview with him. But I always wanted to ask him about, you know, his support for the Mujahideen in Afghanistan back when he was a major advisor to President Carter way back there.
Yeah, well, he doesn't want to talk about that.
No, not too much. Bob, before we delve into the powerful new article that you've published called Beware the Shia Fellas, and we'll explain what that means, I just wanted to ask you if you have amended or rethought at all the ideas that you discussed with us about a month ago from an article that was in the American Prospect about various scenarios if and when the U.S. leaves Iraq. Because just over the past week, we've seen a spate of new articles, again saying that the U.S. simply cannot leave because the carnage would be too great.
Well, in fact, we're going to leave, so I guess we'll find out at some point whether the predictions are correct or not. But I think it isn't a question of all carnage or no carnage. It's a question of, you know, how bad is it going to be? And I guess I would doubt the doomsayers, the people who predict the apocalypse if we leave. So no, I haven't changed my opinion about that at all. I think the people who are making that argument most loudly are the people who are saying, so therefore we have to stay and fight whether it takes 5 years or more.
Right.
And clearly that is unsustainable both, you know, politically and militarily. So that's just not going to happen.
Well, we have to take into account Iraqi fatigue as well, and that is a major issue. Over the weekend, I caught up on some of my reading and really found a lot of powerful information in a New York Times Magazine article about 2-3 weeks ago by Nir Rosen called The Flight from Iraq. And in it, he points up many of the same issues that you talk about in this new American Prospect article, which is the various factions in Iraq. And how they are arrayed against each other and then often unified, at least momentarily, in their military and guerrilla opposition to the U.S. occupation.
Well, the Iraqi opposition, not the Iraqi government, the current government that we support, but the opposition, whether you're talking about Muqtada Sadr, the rebel cleric, or the Sunni opposition or the Iraqi resistance, which is mostly Sunni, and some other independent Shia forces, all of them, to varying degrees, want the United States to leave Iraq. So it's only this coalition of the Shiite parties allied mostly to Iran
mm-hmm.
and the Kurds up in the north who seem intent on keeping the United States there, and it's that government, the government of the Shiites and Kurds, that we are trying to prop up against increasing odds. And in turn, those are the people who keep begging us to stick around. And so the question I was trying to get at in my article is, here we have a government in Iraq, which is, I think pretty plainly now, pro-Iranian. Many of its parties and factions supported by or tied to or even controlled by Iran and its intelligence apparatus. How is it possible that the neoconservatives who hate Iran and keep, grumbling about how we should confront Iran, how is it possible that we invaded Iraq and put Iran's allies in power? And so that's the story that I was trying to tell in this piece, because it's really the ultimate irony and paradox of the whole past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We invaded Iraq to create democracy.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, we created theocracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I referred to that as a cruel hoax at the time, and I don't say that just to toot my horn or say to anyone, I told you so. But if it was that obvious to me, and I am hardly a student of the history of that region, it should have been much more obvious to those charged with our foreign policy, who presumably would have much greater depth and expertise. And Bob Dreyfus, you list three flawed assumptions that shape the views of the neocons. Review those for us briefly, please.
Yeah, yes, because you're absolutely right that it was obvious, and all the intelligence agencies and reports, and, you know, more stuff is coming out just last week about this, all predicted that Iran would get an advantage if Saddam were removed. The reason why this was dismissed by the neoconservatives, the three assumptions that you mentioned, and they all kind of are interrelated. Well, okay, first, they have long seen the Shia as kind of outsiders, as people who, among the Arabs, were not really Arab. And so you had a lot of neoconservatives and others at that time in 2002 talking about de-Arabizing Iraq and taking Iraq out of the Arab League and basically taking it off the table as a ally of the anti-Israeli coalition and so forth. So they believed that the Shia were maybe not really Arabs, and so you know, there was some affinity there that they sought. And then second, they fell for Ahmed Shalabi, the founder of the Iraqi National Congress, who was a close collaborator of the Washington-based neoconservatives. And Shalabi, who spent much time in Iran during the period before the war, kept assuring them over and over again that the religious Shiite parties based in Iran wouldn't play an overwhelmingly dominant role, that it would be the more Western-minded Shia who would take over.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this notion that we would be welcomed, you know, by the Shia. And that goes back to the Israeli invasion of Lebanon way back in 1982, when this was even before Hezbollah existed in the south. And the Shia did welcome the Israeli military at that point, because the Israelis were coming in to fight the Palestinians, who were seen as squatters in Lebanon. And
mm-hmm.
So there was a history there that they kind of, you know, transplanted to Iraq and said, oh, yeah, the Shia are going to welcome us. They're not really Arabs, and so they'll go along with this. And finally, and this is maybe the most insidious of all, looking at Iran, they felt that if we could establish some kind of Shia power in Iraq that was more moderate, more pro-Western in Najaf, which is the Iraqi holy city,
mm-hmm.
then maybe Najaf could kind of become the new Rome for the Shia, and it would eclipse the city of Qom in Iran, which is the Iranian Vatican or holy
right.
city.
Q-O-M, for those who have trouble with the...
Yes, Q-O-M. And so this notion that Najaf would eclipse Qom and would somehow weaken the hold of the Ayatollahs in Iran was beguiling or seductive to the neocons, who looked at people like Ayatollah Sistani and others and said, hey, you know, these guys, they're quietists, they mind their own business, they don't believe in mixing church and state. Well, all that was wrong.
Mm-hmm. We got to take a break, and Bob Dreyfus will return in just a moment, and he'll explain the Hatfields and the McCoys of Iraq. That's my shorthand for the Hakims and the Sodders. More coming up in just a moment. You got a question? Bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We are back live today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
P&T Puppet Theater reminds listeners, always keep a watchful eye out for all children. Remember, you can't keep an adventurous child from trying to learn, but you can keep track of him while he does. For help or information on the prevention of child abduction, call your local authorities. This message is courtesy of P&T Puppet Theater, serving our community with pride and integrity for years. Give them a call at 831-754-2411 or visit ptpuppets.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Sober Stones, Big Sir Jade. With our busy lives, it's hard to stay balanced and calm during the day. Sober Stones, Deep Green Big Sir Jade are great reminders to keep your eye on the ball. Staying sober, present, and awake to life. Keep them in your pocket throughout the day. Look at them, feel them. What our native ancestors used in healing for thousands of years are available for you now. Call 521-7917. Sober Stones in all sizes for all budgets. 521-7917.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, back in the saddle here, 23 minutes after the hour. We're talking with journalist Robert Dreyfuss. And you can go to his website, robertdreyfuss.com, D-R-E-Y-F-U-S-S, or prospect.org to read this powerful new article in the current hard copy issue of the American Prospect as well. And it is entitled, Beware the Shia Fellows. Give us a quick explanation of the title, Bob.
Well, the Arabic word for peasant is fella. And a couple of years ago, President Bush met Abdulaziz Hakim, who's the head of one of the main Shiite religious parties, Skiri it's called.
Right.
And he said, I just met this guy, and he's a Shia fella. then he, of course, he was meant to say fellow, but he kind of mispronounced it in his Texas twang and
right.
ended up calling him a peasant. And, of course, the irony of it is Bush was asking him about, you know, can Methodists find a place in your Iraq? And he was given all those assurances that, yes, everything will be hunky-dory. And now we know, and Bush should have known then, that there's no place, not even for Sunnis, in Hakim's Iraq. It's a Shiite dictatorship, really.
And to help Americans understand this, you compare the Hakims and the Sodders to the Hatfields and the McCoys, the feuding clans in Appalachia who reached legendary status. Give us a quick sketch of at least the modern extensions of these two families and how they have played into the Shia dominance of the Bush government in Iraq.
Yeah, well, back in 1979, when the Iranian Revolution happened, a lot of Iraqis fled Iraq and went to live in Iran, mostly the middle class, the wealthier Shia, and they formed an organization there called Skiri that got Iranian support. It was built and armed and trained by Iranian intelligence, and actually fought against their home country, against Iraq, in that war that went on in the 80s. And the Hakim family, which is a kind of a legendary family in Iranian religious circles, they became the leaders of that Iran-based movement.
Mm-hmm.
The Sadrs, who were another legendary clerical family, they stayed inside Iraq, and they were, of course, persecuted for their efforts. But when the U.S. invasion happened a few years ago, the Sadrs were there on the ground, including Muqtada Sadr, who's the leader now of this Mahdi army.
Right.
And he resents both Iran and Hakims, and is kind of that's why I say Hatfields and McCoys. You have these two families, both of which go back many, many decades in Iran, who are kind of feuding over who gets to be the main force among the Shia. And it's the Hakims that are closest to Iran, and then it's the Sadrs who are the more nationalist, kind of Iraqi nationalist forces who are kind of resentful
mm-hmm.
of the role that Iran is playing.
And Bob Dreyfus, there's much more detail in the article, but let's circle back to your original point, which is that the Bushies should have known and certainly could have known about the fracturing that has taken place once we lifted the common obstacle of the Saddam government.
Yeah.
And you have
yeah.
quotes here. Despite myriad warnings about the danger posed by radical Shia Islamists in post-Saddam Iraq, the war planners moved forward. Ken Katzman, a Middle East specialist at the Congressional Research Service who worked with the U.S. intelligence community, says he personally warned policymakers. And I wasn't the only one, he said. There was a lot of writing about how if you remove the Ba'ath Party and the Sunni repressive apparatus, you're going to be left basically with the rise of Shia Islamists.
Yeah, and you know, the irony now is, and the Bush administration is coming around to this, if we're going to get out of Iraq, we've got to go to Iran, hat in hand, and get down on our knees and beg the Iranians to tell their clients in Iraq to behave and to rein in these militias and see if we can't arrange some kind of deal in order to pacify the country. The problem is, of course, and now that has consequences, because the closer the United States gets to a deal with Iran, the Arabs and the Sunnis start to get nervous. The Sunnis in Iraq think they're going to be further sold out,
mm-hmm.
and all the Sunni Arab countries, the Saudis and Syrians and Jordanians and Egyptians, begin to worry that we're handing Iraq over to Iran, and so...
And the Israelis have great concerns as well. Bob, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us, as
always. Always a pleasure.
And I want people to read this article at prospect.org. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver. And today, I've got a really important subject to talk about. This may surprise you, but it's not about politics. It's not about my perspective or my ideas. It's about what makes it possible for me to share my opinions with you every day. I'm talking about advertisers. Unfortunately, it costs a lot of money to own a radio station and keep it up and running. For those of us that have radio programs on KRXA, we're able to be here because of the support of local advertisers. So, What's my point? If you're a local business and you like hearing what I have to say each day, even if you don't like what I have to say, but you support free speech, call the station and offer to sponsor this spot. Maybe you like Billy Sunshine's show on the weekend, or you listen to Hal and Coach every afternoon. If you like progressive radio, then become an advertising sponsor. And together, we can point out the hypocrisy of the right and continue to share the views from the left. This has been Todd the Taxi Driver.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or perm, it's not a problem because all are products are odor-free and all natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that's exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time. time to go home.
Well, you and I know that. A majority of Americans, including most Republicans, know it's time for the U.S. to go home. And the Democrats failed in their efforts to impose limited restrictions on the Bush administration, benchmarks that could have been waived, timelines that were removed and never really had a hard and fast impact to begin with. And now we're stuck with funding for the occupation at least through the end of September. And there may be other opportunities for the Democrats to debate the issues and try to peel off more Republican votes. But as it stands today, Bush is unfettered in his ability to continue to manage or mismanage the occupation of Iraq. And it is a very distressing situation, to be sure. Kelly Daugherty joins us now. As I mentioned in the introduction to the show, she's one of the women who has served in Iraq. She is a member, or was, of the Colorado National Guard and was in Iraq from March of 2003 to February of 2004. She's now executive director of Iraq Veterans Against the War. Their website is IVAW.org. Kelly Daugherty, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I don't know your rank, Kelly Daugherty.
When I was in the National Guard, when I got discharged in 2004, I was a Sergeant E5.
Sergeant E5. Well, I want to thank you for your service, both before you joined Iraq Veterans Against the War and since, if you get my drift.
Right. Thank you.
Yes. Tell me your reaction to the way that the Democrats attempted to change the administration's policies and your view of the extent to which it was a failure.
Well, it was, I would say, frustrating for me the entire time because myself and Iraq Veterans Against the War and other groups that we work with, like Military Families Speak Out and Veterans for Peace, had continuously said that Congress has the power of the purse, and if they are serious about ending the war, they needed to stop funding it. And that to say that you're against the war and to continuously fund it year after year, billions after billions of dollars, does not make sense, and it's not true. If you're really against the war, then you have that power. You can stop funding it. And then the Democrats got a lot of publicity saying they were trying to stop the war and trying to bring the troops home. And in reality, the supplemental bill that they initially had, a lot of the benchmarks and limits as far as how prepared and how equipped that the military had to be, all those were really suggestions and could be overturned by the president. So even the supplemental as it stood wouldn't have ended the war. And now it's obviously they've kind of taken away all of what they were even trying to do and just passed the funding.
And Kelly Daugherty, I have commented that I felt that Leader Reid and Speaker Pelosi, at least in their public statements, tried to play a weak hand as strongly as possible. And I do not deny the reality that, particularly in the Senate, Harry Reid does not have the votes to move significant legislation to change the policy toward Iraq at this time. That said, I believe that the Democrats laid the groundwork for their own failure by the way they permitted the debate to be driven by Republican framing and Republican language. For example, they repeatedly said, and this came from Pelosi, it came from Reid, it came from Jack Reid, the senator from Rhode Island, a point person for the Democrats on the war, that they would never refuse to fund, quote-unquote, the troops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they fell into that trap, or they openly went into it, but the trap was very clear, that funding the war is far different from supporting the troops or funding the troops. And they have failed to show the American people that it's the Bush administration's failures that required supplementals to pay for body armor and up-armoring of vehicles, including Humvees, that even recently the Bush administration, while hammering the Democrats for not, quote-unquote, supporting the troops, threatened a veto if the House went forward with a 3.5% raise for the military instead of a mere 3% raise. And there, one example after another of how the Bush administration has failed to support the troops, yet they were able to control the rhetorical high ground on that issue, and the Democrats let them.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what myself and other members of Iraq Veterans Against the War continuously say is, you know, supporting the troops means bringing them home. Supporting the troops does not mean funding the war. And as one staffer told me when I was in Washington, D.C. a couple of months ago and we were talking about this very same issue, he said to myself and a few other veterans who'd served in Iraq, something to the lines of, well, you know, this money is going to pay your friends who are still in the military's salaries, which is absolutely absurd because I was in the military for 7 years before Iraq, and I always got paid. And so the funding for the troops as far as paying their salaries, equipping them, taking care of them, the funding's already there to bring the troops home quickly and safely. That money exists, and what's being done now isn't going to protect the troops or to give them better wages or better benefits. It's really going to perpetuate this war that is harming the military, really putting the military to its breaking point, but at the same time making a lot of people in the government and in corporations very rich.
Well, and if the Democrats had taken the trouble to break down for us what the $95 or $100 billion total was comprised of, we would have seen that a lot of that money is for contractors, a lot of that money is for hardware, it's going to the, you know, military supply companies, and you know, a very small portion of that money was actually going to the troops. Now, Kelly Doherty from Iraq Veterans Against the War, let me ask you about one other angle that for some reason wasn't pursued. MRTHA had a proposal that surfaced after the presidential veto to provide short-term funds and even under short timelines to essentially rein in the administration by doling out the money more slowly. And I think that that was a sensible way that could have at least potentially, it certainly would have passed the House in my view and had an uphill struggle in the Senate. But we do have a very fundamental issue that people need to be reminded of, and that is the process works, according to our civics books, that only the House can originate an appropriations bill. So that if they offered $10 billion or $20 billion or $30 billion in a chunk, the Senate could not increase that by a substantial amount, and the White House can't spend more than is appropriated. So the Democrats had you know, enough control in the House that they could have controlled this debate, yet they chose not to.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it is interesting, like you said, there is power that the Democrats have. There's power that our elected leaders are supposed to gain their power from the consent of the public, and so when the majority of the American people want to see the war ended and the troops brought home, and they're not using their power to do that, I think that's a serious problem, and you know, doesn't bode well for our system and for our country right now. And with the Democrats, it just seems not just with the Democrats, but just in general, Washington politics seem to be just doing that, playing politics while on the ground in Iraq. People are dying every day, and veterans are coming home without the benefits and the care that they need, while they're continuing to debate and to just try to make it look like, oh, well, at least we tried to do something, kind of shifting the blame back on the administration, and then from there trying to shift it back on the Democrats. It's playing this blame game while people continue to die at rates that are increasing all the time.
Well, and I think Nancy Pelosi, and she's someone I know personally, I did some campaign work for her about 11 years ago, and I know her well enough to say that I believe she is firm in her resolve to end the occupation. She is hamstrung by weakness in the Democratic caucus, and up to a point, I can understand that. But she, I believe, felt that this incremental approach, felt that a dialogue approach with the White House was going to produce some sort of a desired result. And I hope that we have seen now that we really need to revert to the proposals from Barbara Lee in the House and Russ Feingold in the Senate and simply set a date and say the funding ends there. Deal with it.
Well, and it's also, you know, the idea of immediate withdrawal, that's really a mandate that Congress can give. You know, it's up to military commanders to decide how it is most effective and most safe for troops to be withdrawn and to bring them home and take care of them. That's something that the military, that's its job to do. The military is follows the orders. So it's stay in Iraq, okay, we're going to find out how to do that to the best of our ability, or bring the troops home, then they in turn do that to the best of their ability. So it's not up to Congress to dictate the exact specifics of how each battalion comes home. It's their job to say, look, we want the war over. We're not going to fund it anymore unless it's funding that's going to bring the troops home.
Yeah. Kelly, I wanted to ask you your reaction to the open letter that Cindy Sheehan published over the last couple of days. First of all, resigning from the Democratic Party, and then essentially resigning her unelected post as the front person, some would say the poster child, for the anti-war movement. I have a great deal of respect for Cindy. Like me, she's not perfect, and not everything she did resonated well, or in, you know, some people's views were always appropriate. But I really felt that she did put a real face on the real loss that certain families are enduring for their family members who serve in Iraq, and particularly those who die there or are given lifetime wounds. And so I'd like to hear just your thoughts on her move and some of the comments that she's made.
Well, I've known Cindy for the past couple of years since she started speaking out, and, you know, and since, unfortunately, her son was killed in Iraq. And she's always, you know, I don't have the opportunity to see her very often, but I always feel that she's been a great supporter of myself personally and of Iraq Veterans Against the War as an organization. And my heart goes out to her. She's a Gold Star mother. She's really given her life, her physical and emotional health, and her money, and just put 100% in to this movement. And really, I think it's in her best interest to take care of herself and to take care of her family. And it's unfortunate that she's kind of faced both attacks from the right and attacks from the left, and a lot of criticism. And really what I think it comes down to is that she was catapulted to this spotlight and coined as the face of the anti-war movement, which isn't something that she asked for. It was something that the media kind of created this persona about her.
Indeed.
You know, which isn't, it's not healthy really for any of us that do this work to be under the additional stress of trying to be the face of a movement that this movement doesn't have a face, because it's made up of such a diverse group of people.
And Kelly, once the media selects somebody like that, they are relentless in trying to find a defect, a weakness, an Achilles heel to essentially undermine the realistic points that she is making by distracting us about whether she supported Hugo Chavez or what her policy toward Israel is. And that those were the red herrings that were used. Sometimes she served them up, but they were used to try to discredit her central point, which was, damn it, Bush should have found the time to meet with her to hear her comments. It was that simple. And her celebrity would have declined if he had simply done that. We're going to take a break and return. We've got some callers on the line. We'll get to you right after the break. Our guest is Kelly Dougherty, who served in Iraq with the Colorado National Guard as a sergeant and is now executive director of Iraq Veterans Against the War. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
9 a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B., back live after a few days off. My thanks to Tony Truppiano from Detroit for sitting in for me over the last few days. We're talking with Kelly Daugherty. She is Executive Director of Iraq Veterans Against the War, and their website is ivaw.org. We're talking just before the break about Cindy Sheehan, and during the Free Speech Zone, kicking off at 5 o'clock Pacific time today, we're going to read some of the excerpts from the public statements, the letters that she has written over the past couple of days. And Ed from Aptos joins us right now on the PBC show. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, I was just wondering if Kelly had seen the 60 Minutes last Sunday. It's a Memorial Day or Memorial Weekend thing about the Iowa National Guard and their deployment to Iraq.
Oh, I didn't see that. I did hear about it, but no, I wasn't able to watch that.
I didn't see it either, Ed, but I just, as long as you're citing 60 Minutes, they had a powerful piece about the Coast Guard and how it has been mismanaged and depleted, and their eight Coast Guard cutters that they had planned to retrofit by, adding about 10 feet to the stern of them. And those ships are now in dry dock, completely ruined.
I saw that, too. I think that has gone off the radar, too, that, that's another monument to the private industry getting profit out of war, because the outfit that bungled it was a made-up company from, I think, Grumman and Lockheed, but I'm not sure.
Now, I distracted you. Was the 60 Minutes piece on the National Guard about the way all the equipment has been destroyed, damaged, or left behind in Iraq, and how that affected, for example, the response to tornadoes in Kansas recently?
No, it was more on a personal level, just the before and after of the people before they went, and what they were like and what they came back to after they'd gone. I think they, I don't know how many people went over, but they only lost two of their members. I guess one, the oldest and the youngest, were the people that were killed over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly, tell us about your unit of the Colorado National Guard. What was the price you paid for service in Iraq?
Well, as a National Guard unit, the primary job of the National Guard has traditionally been and is still advertised to be service to your state and your community in times of local crisis. And that's really what people in the National Guard have traditionally for years and years been accustomed to. They have careers, they go to school, they have families, and then they're weekend warriors or citizen soldiers. So if something happens like a blizzard in Colorado, we would get called out for that.
Mm-hmm.
And to pick up and leave your family, leave your career, a lot of people have careers that they are accustomed to, you know, living off of the pay that they get from their full-time job, and then get deployed, oftentimes take a big pay cut because then they're getting paid at whatever their pay rank in the National Guard is, which a lot of times is less, or people who have their own businesses and having to leave those and having them basically collapse, having to declare bankruptcy, a lot of families falling apart, which, of course, the toll that this war is taking on the families is felt throughout the military. But with the National Guard, it's different because families don't expect to be saying goodbye to their loved one for a year, year and a half. Now the National Guard's being subjected to repeated tours without much of a break time in between. And it's leaving states unprotected. I mean, we saw when Hurricane Katrina struck, most of their National Guard and the equipment was in Iraq. And so states from, for instance, my old National Guard unit in Colorado had to send people down to New Orleans to help out. And states are being left unprotected in times of disaster. And at the same time, the National Guard does not have the training or the equipment to really be as successful as the active duty for a long-term combat deployment. I know we had the throwbacks from active duty that were old, falling apart when we left Colorado, and you can just imagine how much worse the stress of being in Iraq was for our vehicles, for our equipment.
And Kelly, tell us about your personal experience. Did you come out okay? Do you have PTSD or any other kind of lingering issues?
Well, for me personally, I feel like I was very fortunate. First of all, our unit didn't lose anyone. We've since, you know, I've found out that people from our unit have, or at least one person from our unit has died since they returned. But when we were in Iraq, we didn't lose anyone. We were in a relatively safe area, of course, relative being the key word there in Iraq. I mean, we're out on patrol every day. But for me personally, I have been fortunate not to really have symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder or no physical injuries that I'm aware of.
That's good to know. I'm really relieved just for you. Let's talk with Laird in Eureka. Welcome, Laird. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Fine.
I was just curious as to how the so-called regulars, if you will, feel about the paid mercenaries like Blackwater.
And Titan and Khaki.
Etc.
Well, I would say in my personal experience, we didn't really deal with the so-called mercenaries or the private security contractors. We did deal a lot with other contractors that would work for Kellogg Brown and Root, which is part of Halliburton, driving trucks and doing more of the kind of maintenance things and the supply things. And it was frustrating on that level because here were people, the Americans who would be the truck drivers for Kellogg Brown and Root would be getting paid, you know, just phenomenally more than us as soldiers, and our job was a lot more dangerous, a lot more stressful. The conditions that we worked and lived in were a lot worse, and someone could come over as a security contractor and make $100,000 tax-free by working there a year, and we were making, you know, just maybe a third of that. And so that was frustrating because you just really saw all the money that was going towards corporations. And with the security contractors, I know that's also really the case, you know, and they don't abide under the same rules as the military.
I'm out of time here, Kelly Daugherty. It's a pleasure to talk with you. Let's do it again.
Thank you.
All right, and visit the website, IVAW.org. Kelly Daugherty, she's Executive Director of Iraq Veterans Against the War. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Dar Jamail on Lebanon next.
I'm Todd Hurlbert, and I invite you to listen to The Week in Politics at our new time, 7 p.m. Monday nights. We're Monterey's hardest-hitting political hot talk. We cover local politics, also tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C., and most importantly, we take your calls and find out what you think. So if you haven't listened to us before, find out what we're all about. Monday night, 7 p.m. It's The Week in Politics. See you there.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Why did a man with a deadly form of TB make his way halfway around the world?
They clearly told him not to travel.
And did Iraqi security forces have any role in the abduction of 5 Westerners in Baghdad?
We're still developing the facts on what actually took place.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. He traveled to Italy, France, Greece, and Canada, then back to the U.S., knowing he had a rare form of tuberculosis and having been warned he could be contagious.
There were clear several communications between my staff and the individual in Rome, begging and asking him to stay put and not travel.
Dr. Martin Cetron of the Centers for Disease Control defending his agency's handling of the case.
We did everything that we could by reaching out to the various systems and tools that we had.
Now health officials are trying to contact passengers who flew on the same planes. Allison Young, a reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, spoke with the man who has been isolated in an area hospital.
He says that health officials did not tell him to wear masks or isolate himself or do anything like that. And he says he doesn't believe he was putting people in jeopardy.
Here's CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobiella.
The CDC says the risk of infection to other passengers is extremely low. The man still shows no symptoms, and his wife is not infected. The U.S. government is now looking into how he was able to sneak back into the country after his name and passport were flagged. Kelly Cobiella, CBS News, Atlanta.
Now this.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
I need directions. I'm going to Scotch Lane in New Jersey.
Introducing OnStar turn-by-turn navigation. Just press the OnStar button and tell the advisor your destination. The route will be sent to your vehicle, and an automated voice will guide you through every turn.
I'm very excited by this new turn-by-turn feature. It's like having somebody who knows exactly where they live sitting next to me.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
Absolutely.
No need to print out driving directions or hassle with a portable GPS device.
Your turn-by-turn navigation will begin.
Can I tell you something? I know how to get there. I just want to use the service.
I don't blame you. Thank you for using OnStar.
Turn-by-turn navigation is the simplest and smartest navigation system, and it's available on many new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Start out going north on Route 10.
Requires ABS and directions and connections plan. Not available in certain areas.
A Chinook helicopter went down in Afghanistan today, killing at least 5 Americans. It's believed the helicopter was brought down by a rocket-propelled grenade. U.S. military officials now confirm a helicopter that crashed in Iraq on Monday was brought down by enemy fire. 2 soldiers died and 6 more were killed when bombs targeted rescuers. There is a stepped-up military presence around Baghdad's Sadr City as the search continues for 5 missing British citizens abducted yesterday. Brigadier General Kevin Bergner isn't confirming the focus of the search.
We really would be very careful with any information about where we think they are and who's holding them, because that might compromise our ability to go take the necessary actions.
The men were taken by gunmen who were reportedly wearing Iraqi police and army uniforms and may have been members of a Shiite militia.
We're still developing the facts on what actually took place. And without question, there are some circumstances concerning that are very troubling, and we're taking them very seriously.
The commander of U.S. forces, General David Petraeus, has reportedly said if the Mahdi army was responsible, it would be profoundly sorry. As the casualties mount in Iraq, another military base here at home finds it can no longer hold memorials for each of its fallen. Heather Bosch of KIRO has more from Seattle.
With 10,000 of its soldiers in Iraq, Fort Lewis anticipates a lot of casualties. So many, the base plans to start holding just 1 memorial service each month for all its fallen soldiers. Michelle Joyner is with the National Military Family Association.
There have been some other installations that have taken the same move. Probably most notably also is Fort Hood, another Army base that's in Texas.
In the month of May alone, at least 19 Fort Lewis-based soldiers have been killed in Iraq. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
The UN Security Council has approved an international tribunal to go after the killers of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri.
No one can say that the Lebanese government, the Secretary General, or the Security Council failed to pursue every possible option short of council action on the tribunal.
Lebanon's foreign minister, the decision was cheered by many in Lebanon. In Beirut, the Security Council vote was shown on a giant television screen. Reports have implicated Syrian and Lebanese intelligence services in the assassination. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
How can students improve their test scores? Well, there's tutoring, cramming, perhaps praying. We suggest throwing a brick at the problem. No, really. Talk to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We can turn piles of bricks into amazing schools, specially designed to inspire and motivate students and to optimize their learning and success. Talk to an AIA architect. And don't wait till the night before the test. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
For Jason Stedman, it's not easy getting ahead at work. The competition, rough. The politics, cutthroat. And everyone thinks Jason doesn't have what it takes. Until his rivals go down, one by one. Could it be that Jason's got killer instinct? Killer Instinct, the explosive New York Times bestseller, now in paperback from Joseph Finder. Get Killer Instinct from St. Martin's Paperbacks. Business is war. You need Killer Instinct.
As the population ages, will our medical bills...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's Peter B. back in the saddle after a long holiday weekend on the East Coast. I'm glad to be back where I'm comfortable and the humidity's lower here on the left coast of these United States. And before we launch into this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, I just wanted to say thank you. We don't usually talk about the ratings on the air because, after all, you know, it's just part of the business side. Ready, steady, go! But our listeners in Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and that itty-bitty town that the terrorists hate called Freedom, you gave us a 500% increase in the ratings in the most recent survey. Ready, thank you very much. Coming up later this hour, Sibelle Edmonds returns to our program along with Australian journalist Luke Ryland. She continues her efforts to tell us what she knows and seek vindication for her firing from the FBI. If you know about Sibelle Edmonds, she went to work there after 9/11 as a translator. And when she discovered some very serious internal problems, took them to her bosses, she was ignored. And then she was fired. And John Ashcroft slapped her with a gag order, a state secret act. And this convoluted case has gone on. And her legal fees have exceeded $250,000. And she's asking Congressman Henry Waxman to make good on his promise to hold public hearings before the Oversight and Reform Committee that he chairs. So far, no date has been set. And there's a great profile of Sibelle Edmonds and other whistleblowers in the new issue of Mother Jones magazine. We'll reference that a little bit later this hour. And we're standing by to connect with Dar Jamail. He is a very busy man, and his line is busy right now. But Katrina is dialing feverishly, and as soon as we get him, we'll put him right on with us. Dar Jamail is a journalist who has been to the Middle East many times over the last 6 years, notably in Iraq and in countries like Syria and Lebanon. And most recently, he visited Lebanon, and also I think he was in Syria at the time that Nancy Pelosi made her much-criticized trip to Syria. And I want to get Dar's expertise on the current conflict in Tripoli, Lebanon, where the Sanyora government, which is barely holding on to power in Beirut,
is, I guess the capital is Tripoli, so they're barely holding on to power in Tripoli. But they have launched an assault on a refugee camp called Nahr al-Barad. It's about 10 days old, and over 60 civilians have been killed, at least, 60 people. That includes some militants, some soldiers, and some civilians. And the area there has largely been evacuated, and the U.S. has sent additional materiel, I think ammunition especially, to the Sonora government. And the critical thing to me is to clarify what we're hearing in the corporate media in the United States, which is that the rebel group that the Sonora government is trying to suppress or eliminate, Fatah al-Islam, is widely reported in the U.S. media to be an affiliate of al-Qaeda. And I am not sure the extent to which they have a relationship. And I don't know if it's simply that they are unified in their opposition to the United States and or Israel, or if it goes beyond that. And there is actual, material support being offered by al-Qaeda to this Fatah al-Islam group. So that's what's on my agenda here, and as soon as we can get to Dar, we will ask him about those issues. If you want to call in the meantime, you're free to do so, and we can talk a little bit till we can connect up with Dar. And our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. And just as I say that, I hear that Katrina has reached him, and we have Dar Jamil on the air right now. Hello, Dar.
Hi, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. How's it going today?
Good. Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, good. I was just kind of setting this up, so let me go right to the question that's at the heart of what I wanted to get from you. And that is, I'd like to know more about Fatah al-Islam and the struggle that is underway in the Nahr al-Bared refugee camp in Tripoli between Fatah al-Islam and the Sonora government. And the key question for me is that the corporate media here in the U.S. has repeatedly said that Fatah al-Islam is linked to al-Qaeda, is affiliated with al-Qaeda. And I would like to know from your experience in Lebanon and from your recent visit there if that is an accurate description, because there are a lot of ways that they might be allied against the United States, against Israel, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are networked, if you get my drift.
I do, and that's a very important question. And actually, the fact that the corporate media is reporting that Fatah al-Islam is likely linked to al-Qaeda, that is actually correct, but there is a gross omission that the corporate media is making, and that is information that has been reported by Seymour Hersh and even other people affiliated with the International Crisis Group within Lebanon, people like Alistair Cook, and that is that Fatah al-Islam, yes, they're a Sunni radical Islamist group, yes, they likely have ties to al-Qaeda and possibly other terrorist groups, but they have actually received arms and funding via Saad Hariri, the Hariri group in the Lebanon government who are with the Future Party, and who has been getting arms and funding to the Hariri group, but none other than the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a glaring omission, that's been made by the corporate media, that we have to look at who is responsible for setting this group up. Why have they been allowed existence in this refugee camp, actually right on the edge of it? It's a situation that refugees themselves have absolutely zero control over, but this group has been set up by the Hariri thugs, and it's really a classic case of this flawed U.S. policy, rather than if we look back to what happened in Afghanistan when the U.S. was supporting rebels there, Mujahideen groups to go after the Soviet Union. But they were basically doing this with Fatah al-Islam and other groups in Lebanon as a counterweight to Hezbollah. Well, now, rather than taking decades to come back and haunt the government or the people it's supporting abroad, it's taken more like less than a few months.
Well, Dar, now let's move to a scene setter. Can you describe for us the Nahr al-Bared refugee camp, how it is situated in Tripoli, and the reasons why the Sonora government, the Lebanese army, have not gone in and routed the Fatah al-Islam faction to date? They appear to be standing by at the gates to this camp.
They do. Well, for starters, this camp holds between 30,000 and 40,000 refugees. No one ever knows the exact numbers because this camp like so many of the other Palestinian camps in Lebanon. And keep in mind there's 400,000 Palestinian refugees in Lebanon. That's at least 10% of the total population of the country are Palestinian refugees. They're in these camps because they're essentially denied the rights that Lebanese civilians are allowed, of course, or granted. They're not allowed to work in high-paying, more professional jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have citizenship. They lack other basic rights. So in these camps, they tend to be places of squalor. There's UN schools set up and this sort of thing where the UN is stepping in and doing what it can to try to give some semblance of infrastructure. But by and large, there's not much. You go in these camps and there's intermittent electricity. You better not drink the water. Crime is a problem. Unemployment is usually well over 25%. So that's this camp also.
And Dar, when we use the term camp, are they more like shanty towns and just kind of unsupervised construction? They're not actually people living in tents, are they?
That's correct. They're more like high kind of low-rent apartment complexes where they're very, very tight together. You have lots of families living in every single apartment building. Oftentimes they're 5, even 10 stories high, very, very tight, very mm-hmm. small alleyways in between them. So that's the situation in this camp. And so one reason why the Lebanese military will not enter the camp is because actually under various accords that were set up with the Palestinian refugee exodus into Lebanon, the army's not allowed it by law into the camp. Another reason is that they're very much afraid of sparking a camp war, which is a situation that exploded during the Lebanese Civil War and drug all of the Palestinian armed groups into that conflict. And they're very much afraid, and rightly so, that if they go in and basically start leveling one of the camps, that they're going to spark retribution and clashes in other camps. And another thing that's happened in these camps is there's it's well known that there's a large number of armed groups, and they're very well armed and backed and would likely respond in kind if there was a large military offensive against them.
Mm-hmm. And Dar, just coming back to the description, these are gated communities of a sort. Are the fences that indicate the boundaries of Nahr al-Bared, are those set up to contain the refugees or to protect the citizens of Tripoli? What's the idea behind the perimeters?
They're definitely more set up to contain the refugees. That the Palestinians, we have to be very, very clear about this. In across Lebanon, just about any group, including Hezbollah, this is the one thing that you'll find Hezbollah and even some members of the U.S.-backed Lebanese government, people like Fuad Senora and Saad Hariri, they all are in agreement that they feel threatened by the Palestinians. They do not look at them as equal citizens, as equal Lebanese. There is a lot of discrimination. In my opinion, I look at it with a lot of disdain, and it's a horrible situation for the Palestinians, where once again they're on the short end of the stick,
mm-hmm.
Really coming up short with just their basic needs as citizens there. And so these camps are set up kind of with that mindset where,
yeah.
well, we have to contain them, they're a problem, and this way we can keep our eye on them.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Dar Jamail. Visit his website, DahrJamail, DarJamailIraq.com, and you can read his most recent dispatches and blogs and everything else. And as we continue, I want to talk more about the situation in Lebanon, the extent to which the refugees have been evacuated, and what kind of a showdown might occur now that the U.S. has sent more supplies, military supplies, to the Sanjuara government. That's ahead next. And if you have a question about this, give us a call now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth.
Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
All righty, folks. Welcome to Wednesday, at least the afternoon part of it. Saratoga, northbound 85 after Saratoga Avenue, vehicle on fire. It's fully engulfed in flames, right lane blocked. The fire department is on scene. We're telling you about this because we have a SIG alert in effect there from CHP. All righty, let's take a look at Soquel, northbound after Porter. Street, we have an accident there. No details. CHP on the way. Salinas, 183 at Davis Road. A crash in the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this one. And in Hollister on San Felipe Road at Wright, there's a grass fire. It's burning near the roadway. Fire department should be on scene, and a lot of smoke being reported in the area there. This report brought to you by United Rentals. Consider it done. Are you a weekend do-it-yourselfer? Well, United Rentals will go the extra mile to help you. Stop by your local branch, call 800-UR-RENTS, or visit unitedrentals.com. United Rentals, consider it done.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Our guest is journalist Dar Jamail. We're talking about the current conflict in Lebanon between the Sanyora government and members of a group called Fatah al-Islam. And the conflict is underway in Tripoli, in one of the refugee camps populated primarily by Palestinians. And, Dar, I mentioned this going into the break, that we have learned that recently the United States has sent rush shipments of reinforcements, at least materiel reinforcements, to the Sanyora government. And based on what you told us in the first segment about the U.S. support for the Hariri faction in Lebanon, we can hope that we're not resupplying them, too.
Well, I think that we can rest assured that that is indeed what's happening. I mean, certainly some of this aid is going to the Lebanese army, but in reality it is simply going to those in the Lebanese government that are backed by the U.S. Basically what this is doing, and the situation is so critical because we have a government standoff in Lebanon right now. We have the government basically at a gridlock with the opposition, which is peopled by groups like Hezbollah and Amal on the Shia side, but also some large and very powerful Maronite Christian groups, one led by former General Michel Aoun, and then another group from of Syrian nationalists inside Lebanon that are also nationalist, Maronite Christians. But this opposition and the standoff it's having with the U.S.-backed factions in the Lebanese government has the country at a bit of a gridlock. And by shipping in these arms ammunition and arms to the not just the Lebanese military but to Saad Hariri's own militia and the internal Lebanese security forces, which is basically a private militia for Prime Minister Fouad Senora, who is essentially a U.S. yes man in that government.
Who is barely clinging to power.
Who is barely clinging to power, and without U.S. backing would not be clinging to that power.
Mm-hmm.
And so by sending in all of these weapons, it's going to severely destabilize the situation, where basically we have this standoff happening, and now all of a sudden we're going to just make sure that the side more loyal to the U.S. is more heavily armed. So it's basically pouring gasoline onto a fire that is basically just waiting for a match at this point.
Now, Dar, where is Hezbollah and Sheikh Nasrallah on this conflict?
Well, they have been urging, Hassan Nasrallah has been making public statements urging that the situation be settled by political and diplomatic means. But that said, we have to be critical, or at least I feel like I have to be critical of Hezbollah, and that they haven't done more to step in and stop the violence, because they absolutely have not exercised any muscle in trying to do that. And I think that they would be able to make some moves that would stem some of this violence. And instead, we see it ongoing, and we certainly can expect more to come.
But don't they benefit if Fatah al-Islam is successful in destabilizing the Senora government? That's the ultimate goal of Nasrallah.
Well, actually, the Hassan Nasrallah's take on this, and it's also a correct take, is that he is in support of the liquidation of groups like Fatah al-Islam, because this is a specific group that has been funded via the Hariri channels with U.S. arms and funding to go after and serve as a counterbalance to Hezbollah. These are the specific types of groups that Seymour Hersh wrote about in his last article in The New Yorker called The Redirection,
mm-hmm.
where he talked about the U.S. is now arming radical Salafist groups, Sunni Islamist groups in Lebanon and other places in the region to go after groups more loyal to Iran. And this is a specific textbook case where they're using Fatah al-Islam to do that. And so that's the reason why Hezbollah is quite happy to sit back and watch the Lebanese army just take out their aggressions on Fatah al-Islam.
And all this ties together with the interview we led the show with today. And, Dar, you may want to check out Robert Dreyfus's most recent article at prospect.org. That's the American Prospects website. But in it, he describes how the U.S. misread or ignored the obvious related to the factions in Iraq. And we appear to be repeating that with factions in other parts of the Middle East, where we just can't seem to figure out who the right people are to deal with, to support, or to oppose.
Well, that's very correct, and I'll definitely make sure I read that article. I respect Mr. Dreyfus's work very much, and he's always spot on in his analysis. But it's true, and it's hard to read this because there's so much chaos going on. And on one hand, it's kind of easy to think that it's a deep conspiracy that the administration just wants to inflame the entire region and back various groups against one another and just keep the chaos and the violence going. And then on the other hand, it seems you could read it as though it's just gross incompetence and as though this administration is just grasping at straws, that they're basically backing anyone that will at least pretend to be their friend for this day. Because
Dar Jamil, I got to cut it here. Thank you very much. I always learn a lot when I talk with you.
Thanks, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
From Russia, with love, this is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The headline is ominous. Russia's new missiles can penetrate any defense. Russian President Putin says the Tuesday successful test of a new type of Russian missile means that America's plans for a missile defense shield in Europe are doomed. The new anti-missile system evading long-range ballistic missile can carry multiple anti-missile-proof warheads, and the new Russian low-altitude radar-evading cruise missile flies farther than previous models and could easily reach targets in Europe. All this is Russia's response to our plans to set up a missile defense system in Eastern Europe, even though we have pointed out that it's not directed against them, but against rogue nations like Iran. Nonsense, says Putin. It's designed to destroy the balance of power in Europe, and Russia will have none of it. It'll continue to build up its air, sea, and land-based nuclear weapons. You know what I think? I think someone is tired of not being a superpower anymore. Well, you go right ahead, Vladimir, because if you think we're going to abandon our gazillion-dollar missile defense plans, you haven't been paying attention. We will spend whatever it takes to win the Cold War a second time, if necessary. World-ending nuclear missiles are something we can deal with. It's the damn low-budget IEDs that have us stumped. Americans are more than ready to get back to a war we understand. So, thank you, Vladimir. You go right ahead. Deploy your deadly RS-24 mobile launch ICBM with multiple anti-missile evading reentry vehicles, just so you don't figure out how to hook up old artillery shells to garage door openers. Now this.
Hi, I'm Smokey, and this is my new friend Ernie.
Hi.
Ernie wants to be a biker.
Sure do.
Okay, just calm down, Ernie. First you need a bike. Then you need Geico Motorcycle Insurance. They cover most kinds of bikes and have money-saving discounts. And finally, you'll need a nickname. Something that suits you, like, I don't know, Fuzzy Bunny.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Too late. It's already stuck, Fuzzy.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show at 33 minutes past the hour. Think of courageous Americans, many of whom are employed by the United States government in one department or another, who discover wrongdoing of a serious nature. And they say, aha, I will blow the whistle, because after all, there's a Whistleblowers Protection Act. There's an office at the White House that's designed to address the allegations, evaluate them, and protect me as the person who blew the whistle. And in some cases, there are even some potential financial rewards for people who call attention to wrongdoing in government agencies or contractors, that sort of thing. But it doesn't quite work that way. And joining us to talk about this, journalist Luke Ryland, who joins us from Tasmania today. Luke, welcome back to the program.
Hello, Peter. Good. Thanks for having me on.
It's nice to talk with you. And are you in Hobart, the main city there on the island of Tasmania?
Launceston, actually, the number two city.
Number two city. Well, I haven't visited there, but I was there in Sydney one time for the kickoff of the Boxing Day regatta from Sydney to Hobart. And it's on my list of destinations I'd like to visit sometime.
I'll be your tour guide when you come down, Peter.
Okay, that's a deal. And Sibel Edmonds returns to our program today. As you may have heard, she worked at the Federal Bureau of Investigation and was a translator there. She discovered serious misdeeds underway there. And when she brought them to the attention of her superiors, she was rewarded with a termination, and it didn't stop there. She's been subject to a bizarre and ongoing effort to silence her, starting with Attorney General Ashcroft a few years ago, and continuing through her efforts to win some review from the courts or from Congress. Sibel Edmonds, welcome back to our program today.
Hello, Peter. Good to be back.
Always nice to talk with you, Sibel. And I want to direct our listeners to the current issue of Mother Jones Magazine, May-June of 2007, because there is an excellent story there which includes a partial profile of Sibel and her case, along with other whistleblowers. And it's put against the context of this guy, Scott Block, who runs the office at the White House that is chartered by law, or charged by law, to respond to whistleblowers and help resolve the allegations that they make. And so I recommend that to you for your reading. But, Sibel, let me start here. There was recently Whistleblower Week in Washington, and there was a little bit of news coverage of it. Senator Grassley got his picture in the paper for it. Tell us how that went, and if you won any new converts to the important issues of protecting whistleblowers and protecting a process by which they can bring their information forward.
Well, Peter, the Whistleblower Week, generally, it was a pretty good effort by several organizations coming together and trying to raise this issue, make it more public. It provided some good workshops for whistleblowers and also for attorneys who are not that familiar with whistleblower cases. And it's still very difficult to find lawyers when it comes to government whistleblowers, especially with the national security whistleblowers. When you deal with so much secrecy and classification and gag orders. So from that aspect, it was a pretty good week, and we had so many whistleblowers coming from all over the country and gathering in one place, and they made their congressional rounds. We did not participate in the ceremony with Senator Grassley as an organization that represents more than 100 national security whistleblowers. And we have, you know, we have respect for Senator Grassley, but we really haven't seen either from Senator Grassley or other congressional people who attach their names to whistleblowers, anything in terms of action. You know, when some story breaks, you know, in the mainstream media and you have the headline, you have these elected officials using these whistleblower cases to gain, let's say, some face time in, you know, TV or, mm-hmm. or get the attention of the media. But then when it comes to really taking action, doing something, which is within their scope of authority, you really don't see anything. Rarely you see some hearings. But again, they are mainly hearings for show. They like to talk the talk, but they are not willing to walk the walk. And I guess that's the best way to put it. And Senator Grassley has exhibited this pattern. Actually, he's a very good example for this because he has received so many cases, including my case, when there was enough public attention and we had the CBS 60 Minutes and Washington Post and New York Times. And he happened to be this maverick making public comments and talking about how bad these things were and how he was going to come down on these departments. Look, it's been 5 years since he talked a talk in my case, and there hasn't been a single action taken by his office. And the committee is the appropriate committee. It's the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing is true with other congressional representatives. And we had other cases from our other members.
Mm-hmm.
One huge case was...
Well, just a sec, Sabelle, before you move on to another case, I want to ask you explicitly about your case and what we discussed on your last appearance on the program when Luke was here, too. And that is that we understand that Henry Waxman, who chairs the Government Oversight and Reform Committee in the House and who has chaired some important hearings already, has made a promise to you that he will call you to testify publicly so that you can tell us what you would really like to share with the American people that has been systematically withheld as you have been silenced and your own personal legal fees have shot through the roof. Has Mr. Waxman, first of all, did Waxman participate in Whistleblower Week? And number two, has there been any progress on getting him to honor his promise?
Well, no, he did not participate in any of the national security whistleblowers-related activities. And as far as that petition goes that we talked about last time, and it's been almost 3 months, as you know, and as we announced here, more than 30 organizations, including the ACLU, National Coalition Against Censorship, they all came together and served him with this petition. And as you called and got the response directly, thousands of people made a phone call demanding an answer and a date for a hearing. And he has not returned anybody's phone calls. His office is refusing to issue any statement or responding to this petition and what we are asking him to do, we being the organizations and the American public. And again, it's very interesting because with Chairman Waxman, before we had the change with the Democrats becoming the majority, we had so many times getting promises from Chairman Waxman saying, oh, the only reason we are not having this hearing is because the Republicans are preventing this hearing from taking place. And we don't have any power to overcome that. They are not allowing us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that obstacle has been removed. And interestingly, that again, that maverick attitude somehow has disappeared. And I would like to emphasize, and this is a fortunate but also an unfortunate aspect of my case and many of these whistleblowers' case, that they are not partisan in nature. Okay, they don't, because this case and the issues that will come out with regard to my case is going to cover a certain period of time that's going to involve both administrations.
Mm-hmm.
And I have briefed Congressman Waxman's staff inside the SCIF, and SCIF is the secured compartmentalized room that you go and you can talk about all the classified information. You can provide, you know, specifics, dates, names, everything to cleared staff, people who have security clearance. And it was a very interesting session. Actually, we had two sessions inside that SCIF because I went into this room with these staff members at high level, including their chief counsel. And as soon as I started talking about, they wanted to know about the congressional corruption cases involving certain congressional members.
Mm-hmm.
So I started telling them about the cases and giving them the details about the names, the dates of these files, the names of these files, everything that they would need to go and get from the FBI in terms of records, etc. And they were just writing and writing and writing inside the SCIF. And at one point, before I was even finished, the chief counsel dropped his pen. He's like, wait a second, I have a question. Are there any Democrats involved in this corruption ring?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, there are at least two. And at that point, he stopped and he said, well, at this point, what we want to do is we want to question some people from the FBI and get the classified version of this Inspector General's report and then see what our next step is going to be, rather than saying we want to know about the case. And this basically exemplifies the general attitude within the Congress. if the case is 100% partisan,
yeah,
if the case is a sexy, glitzy case that at a time is getting public attention via mainstream media, let's say they have this VA story breaking, then they are falling all over each other.
Mm-hmm.
To be the maverick taking on and say, I am the one who's championing the case. But if the case is not partisan, if the case is not one of those glitzy cases with our corporate mainstream media covering it, then you don't see any difference.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is Hastert or Pelosi, or whether it is Waxman or Davis.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that the American public needs to realize, and that is, you know, changing one party and gaining the majority from one party to another party is not the answer to the problems our nation is facing today. We have some root causes that neither party is willing to address. And as long as we have those root causes and problems, you know, you can deal as much as you want superficially with the symptoms, but you are not going to change this current rotten, corrupt system.
And
now,
Sibel,
whether that's the election or it's other issues.
Mm-hmm. Sibel Edmonds with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to turn to Luke now because in this context, there are some realistic constraints on Sibel Edmonds' ability to tell us details. And Luke, I wanted to turn to you now. And again, without violating anyone's security clearances or representations, what can you tell us about the details of what Sibel has just been describing, in particular the corruption issues that we believe were linked to former Speaker Dennis Hastert, among others?
Right. Excuse me. I don't have any problem breaking any security laws because I don't think I'm touchable here, Peter, so I'm pretty free to speak and say whatever I like.
Well, let's just remember.
Most of the information I have is from public sources, so it's just a matter of people putting the story together.
All right. Go right ahead.
Sibel was talking about some of the Democrats that might be involved in the congressional corruption, the bribery scandals going back through the late 90s. What happened, there were a bunch of foreign organizations that were bribing different Congress members in return for getting favorable legislation or for blocking particular legislation. Now, we know that Dennis Hastert was one of those because he was named in the Vanity Fair article on Sibel's case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'd think there are other people involved in the case, like Douglas Fife and Richard Pearl. Those people have been named as well. Now, you'd think that Henry Waxman, those guys would be easy targets for him. He likes to say that he's for good government. But as Sibel said, when the names of some Democrats come up, then we seem to hit a roadblock.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to identify those Democrats?
Sibel mentioned that there are two of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's one person whose name has come up, ex-Democrat Congressman Stephen Solars.
Mm-hmm.
He's now a lobbyist for Turkey. Like many of these guys, they come out of Congress and turn into lobbyists and get lots of money shoveled to them that way, and
that's
then
right.
They subsequently go and bribe existing congressmen. It seems to be the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Stephen Solars is one of them. He's obviously an ex-congressman. We don't know if there are any that are in Congress at the moment that are mm-hmm. Democrats, but that's probably the case.
All right. We need to take a break and we'll return. Journalist Luke Ryland is with us from Australia, from Tasmania. And Sibel Edmonds is joining us from the Washington, D.C. area. I hope our NSA miners can get a bead on that. But we'll take a break and continue and talk more about whistleblowers. In the meantime, visit the website nswbc.org. National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, nswbc.org. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or perm, it's not a problem because all our products are odor-free and all natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that is exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
All right, folks, let's take a look at our traffic around the area. Let's go to Salinas 183 at Davis. A crash in the shoulder. Two vehicles, CHP, is there. Getting more of a problem in Hollister, San Felipe Road at Wright. It's a grass fire. It's burning near the roadway, and the fire department is actually on scene there. Another problem in, Salinas. This would be Reservation Road at Davis, a flatbed truck blocking the northbound lane and part of the southbound lane as well. After us, we're going to look at Cluster Lane at Cathedral, a vehicle into a power pole, a telephone pole, and no injuries reported there. This report brought to you by United Rentals. Are you a weekend do-it-yourselfer? United Rentals will go the extra mile. Stop by your local branch or call 800-URETS. United Rentals, consider it done.
Yeah, useless to resist our federal government, Big Brother. We're talking with journalist Luke Ryland and national security whistleblower, former FBI translator Sabelle Edmonds, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Sabelle is not alone. As this new article in Mother Jones points out, there are many national security whistleblowers who have really been screwed as they attempted to do the right thing. Let's talk just about one case, Russell Tice. He worked at the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency. He alleged that the agency was infiltrated by spies. You would think that given the posture of this government going to great lengths, including violating our privacy rights and our Constitution to, quote-unquote, protect us, that an allegation like this would be something they'd want to thoroughly and immediately investigate. And Tice, a veteran intelligence official involved with some of our most secretive special access or black programs, he was subjected to emergency psychological testing, trailed by the FBI, stripped of his security clearance, and then exiled to the NSA motor pool, where he was assigned to gas up cars and chauffeur government officials after he reported his suspicion that a colleague at the DIA might be spying for China. 7 months after he made his comments, he made headlines. New York Times then exposed the warrantless eavesdropping, the illegal monitoring by the NSA, and then they launched a grand jury investigation into the leaks, not the eavesdropping. Tice was served with a subpoena, a move he says was meant to intimidate fellow whistleblowers. And thus far, he's been prevented from sharing this information with Congress because the NSA maintains no one on Capitol Hill has the security clearance to even hear what he has to say, even in the spook room that Sabelle talked about just a couple of minutes ago. Sabelle, Russell Tice is just one example, you're another, but there are more than 100 individuals who have joined your National Security Whistleblowers Coalition.
Right, and Russ is one of our members. He has been a member for more than 2 years. See, you just mentioned the fact that NSA is claiming that no one in Congress has security clearance high enough to be briefed by Russ Tice. Well, we actually pressured the Congress to challenge that, and it took a lot of pressure, trust me. And finally, when the Congress demanded to get justification for this block that NSA was placing and preventing Russ from going inside the SCIF and provide the congressional members, the ones with security clearance, with information regarding this illegal eavesdropping, they did, and Russell Tice actually briefed two different committees inside the SCIF. But then again, the same thing happened. Nothing afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And this is what we are trying to say. No matter what they claim, these agencies, based on our Constitution, based on the way our government is supposed to be set up, Congress has this duty, this jurisdiction. Otherwise, we don't need Congress.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they may as well come out and say, you know what, NSA and CIA and FBI will not fall within congressional jurisdiction. Therefore, there needs to be no oversight. Well, right now, we don't have that oversight anyway.
Yeah.
But they may as well come and say it, because currently our Civic 101 books, you know, and what the information we are providing to our kids, to our young, they're very misleading. They paint this portrait of this Pollyanna world of the separation of powers and the system of checks and balances, when in reality, as you just mentioned, as you just said, these systems are not in place. And even though these powers are granted, they are not being applied, they are not being exercised, and not, you know, we don't have the oversight and accountability.
Right.
And unfortunately, we are seeing it nowadays with courts, too. So where else do you go? Well, we come to your show, and we talk about these issues, and you have your listeners, but that's the limit of it. With the mainstream media going along with this, truly there is no place to turn to.
And Sibel, you and I have talked maybe a dozen times, and maybe I forgot to ask, or maybe you're too self-effacing to bring it up, but I was stunned by the figure in Mother Jones that you and your husband have spent over $285,000 in legal fees, really to protect us, but also to defend yourself and to win vindication in this matter.
Yes, we have paid part of that bill, and it's an ongoing thing, and actually the actual amount is even larger than that. And I also want to say, as a sideline here, that amount, you need to triple that, and that's the amount that government attorneys, and this is the FBI and the Justice Department attorneys,
mm-hmm.
have spent to gag me and to place these gag orders and prevent this case from proceeding in court and gagging the Congress, et cetera.
Yeah.
So still is the taxpayers' money, you know, over $1 million being spent just in one case for the government to fight against the Constitution.
That's
the best way to put it.
And to preserve its denial of these issues. Luke Ryland, about a minute here. Bring us up to speed on things we should know about Sibel's case.
Most interesting thing at the moment is Waxman's continuing stonewalling. Sibel gave a great interview last week. You can see that at my website, letsibeledmondsspeak.blogspot.com. And in that interview, she asks people to continue calling Waxman and demand an answer, at least, to her question. It's unconscionable that he, after promising for a number of years to hold hearings, that now that he's in the majority, he refuses to speak to anybody about this case and seems to be running from the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully people can go to that website and get the numbers there and call Henry Waxman and demand public open hearings.
That's once again letsibeledmonds, S-I-B-E-L-E-D-M-O-N-D-S, letsibeledmondsspeak.blogspot.com. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today. And, Sibel, keep the pressure on. You've got our support. And someday I hope that this will break wide open and you'll be able to share what you know with the appropriate officials and do what you're trying to do, which is preserve the Constitution of the United States.
And thank you, Peter. Thanks for giving us the opportunity. Anytime.
My pleasure. Good to talk with you both. Luke, thanks for joining us today. It's the middle of the night or tomorrow or something like that, but thank you for your time.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. My pleasure. Coming up next, we throw open the phones to talk with you in the free speech zone. There's a lot to talk about, and I've been away, so I need to catch up. Call me now and grab a line toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Centers for Disease Control getting a lot of phone calls about it.
For TB, hepatitis, and injuries, press 5.
The extremely drug-resistant TB, and the man diagnosed and told by health officials not to leave the country.
I think it's very clear from the conversations we've had with the health department that they clearly told him not to travel. They were aware, and he was aware, that he had MDR-TB.
Dr. Martin Cetron, the CDC. This is CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobier.
The tuberculosis bacteria was in his system. That much he knew. But he had no symptoms, no fever, weakness, coughing, or night sweats, and no idea that he had the most dangerous strain of TB until he was on his honeymoon in Rome. The man had already been on 3 flights, but rather than turning himself over to Italian health officials, as the CDC requested, and with his name on a no-fly list, he boarded 2 more flights, from Rome to Prague and Prague to Montreal.
That infected man then driving across the border into the U.S., even though he was on a list to be stopped. He's now in isolation in Atlanta, bound for specialists in Denver. NATO says 7 soldiers were killed today when a helicopter crashed in Afghanistan. It says 5 U.S. crew members and 2 military passengers were aboard the chopper. No survivors. The Taliban is claiming responsibility. Saudi Arabian prisoner is dead at Guantanamo Bay Naval Base, an apparent suicide. Mario Alvarez, U.S. military.
He was found unresponsive and not breathing in his cell by guards. He was pronounced dead by the physician after all life-saving measures had been exhausted.
It's a big trial in a not-so-big town. Reputed Ku Klux Klansman James Seal charged with kidnapping and conspiracy in a federal case. Jerry Mitchell, a reporter with the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi.
It may be difficult to pick a jury just from a standpoint of people who've either heard about the case, read about the case, seen something on TV about the case, and just the matter of just preconceived beliefs.
An attempt to seat a jury in the years-old case is underway. You thinking about surgery? Maybe keep thinking about it.
Have leg pain caused by a herniated disc, trying to decide if you need surgery? In a New England Journal of Medicine study,
after a year or so, most people were much better whether they had surgery or not.
University of Washington expert Dr. Richard Dio says surgery can speed recovery. That was the case in this study and a separate one of people with age-related spine degeneration. But he says for both of these common conditions, patients should seriously consider that they will likely improve without it. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
To the streets of Lebanon. These are fireworks, though, and they're dancing in the streets. Supporters of Prime Minister Rafik Hariri, the assassinated former prime minister. The UN Security Council voting today to unilaterally establish an international tribunal to prosecute suspects in his killing. This is CBS News.
Yo, so what'll it be?
A dozen pork chops, a couple of those strip steaks, 2 pounds of kielbasa, and a half ton of peace of mind.
That's it?
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report. And it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I like some pride of ownership, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details. Or visit FordCPO.com.
And now for the bonus round. If second place is the first loser, who came in last?
Billy.
Correct. Nothing rhymes with orange. What color are my boxers?
Duh, they're blue.
Correct. What's the affordable way to rent DVDs?
Netflix, with plans from only $4.99 a month.
Correct! Netflix! Choose your movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Plans now from only $4.99 a month and never a late fee. Start your free trial today. Netflix, it's that easy.
It's kind of like linguistics gymnastics, what these kids go through every year at the National Spelling Bee.
The first words were fairly easy. Evan O'Dorney was a survivor of an early round.
B-O-U-N-D-A-R-Y, boundary.
Victoria Quinn got her first word right also.
T-E-R-R-I-F-I-C, terrific.
But the words got harder as the day wore on. Can you spell trypanosomiasis? How about epicondylic or polyphyodont? The best spellers left standing will be tested on national primetime TV. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Since his death a couple of weeks ago, more than 300 items related to the Reverend Jerry Falwell up for sale on eBay, including an autographed bobblehead doll of the controversial evangelist dressed in a suit and holding a Bible, sold for $145. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
I need directions. I'm going to Scotch Lane in New Jersey.
Introducing OnStar turn-by-turn navigation. Just press the OnStar button and tell the advisor your destination. The route will be sent to your vehicle, and an automated voice will guide you through every turn.
I'm very excited by this new turn-by-turn feature. It's like having somebody who knows exactly where they live sitting next to me.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
Absolutely.
No need to print out driving directions or hassle with a portable GPS device.
Your turn-by-turn navigation will begin.
Can I tell you something? I know how to get there. I just want to use the service.
I don't blame you. Thank you for using OnStar.
Turn-by-turn navigation is the simplest and smartest navigation system, and it's available on many new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Start out going north on Route 10.
Requires ABS and directions and connections plan. Not available in certain areas.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Today, the Free Speech Zone is dedicated to Cindy Sheehan. As a front person for the anti-war movement in this country, Cindy Sheehan was not perfect, but she was perfect for the time, perfect for the moment. And I'm deeply grateful to her for the sacrifice that she has made to try to change the course of this country's misguided war and occupation in Iraq. And in a second here, I want to share with you some of the comments that she published online over the past couple of days. It appears that Memorial Day, which was the anniversary of her son Casey's death in Iraq, was a very difficult day for her, and we can certainly empathize. And as we dig into her comments, there will be some things that you may react to one way or the other. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on her service to our cause, and where we go from here. What have we learned from the efforts of Cindy Sheehan and others? And what are her messages to us, and how do we respond to them? So all my lines are open right now. You're welcome to comment on any other subject as well, but this is what I'd like to focus on for the first portion of the Free Speech Zone today. And I welcome your calls, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Digitally, that is 888-573-8372. We pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. And I played the Grace Jones song because I feel that Cindy Sheehan was set up in so many ways. I also feel that in some ways she was naive and occasionally appeared to be unaware of the media microscope that she was under, and that people were examining her every move, looking for a way to dismiss her, because her overall message is so righteous and so powerful. And so in order to destroy that message, they must destroy the messenger. And there was a calculated effort, largely by the right wing, but not exclusively, to attack her, to ridicule her, and to try to diminish her influence on our politics. So she wrote on Memorial Day, "I've endured a lot of smear and hatred since Casey was killed, and especially since I became the so-called face of the American anti-war movement. Especially since I renounced any tie I have remaining with the Democratic Party, I've been further trashed on such liberal blogs as the Democratic Underground. Being called an attention whore and being told good riddance are some of the more milder rebukes," she wrote. "The first conclusion is that I was the darling of the so-called left as long as I limited my protest to George Bush and the Republican Party. Of course, I was slandered and libeled by the right as a tool of the Democratic Party. This label was to marginalize me and my message. How could a woman have an original thought or be working outside our two-party system? However, when I started to hold the Democratic Party to the same standards that I held the Republican Party, support for my cause started to erode, and the quote-unquote left started labeling me with the same slurs that the right used. I guess no one paid attention to me when I said that the issue of peace and people dying for no reason is not a matter of right or left, but right and wrong. I'm deemed a radical because I believe that partisan politics should be left to the wayside when hundreds of thousands of people are dying for a war based on lies that is supported by Democrats and Republicans alike. It amazes me that people who are sharp on the issues and can zero in like a laser beam on lies, misrepresentations, and political expediency when it comes to one party, refuse to recognize it in their own party. Blind party loyalty is dangerous whatever side it occurs on. People of the world look on us Americans as jokes because we allow our political leaders so much murderous latitude. And if we don't find alternatives to this corrupt two-party system, our representative republic will die and be replaced with what we are rapidly descending into, with nary a check or balance, a fascist corporate wasteland. I've also reached the conclusion that if I'm doing what I'm doing because I am an attention whore, then I really need to be committed. I've invested everything I have into trying to bring peace with justice to a country that wants neither. If an individual wants both, then normally he, she is not willing to do more than walk in a protest march or sit behind his, her computer criticizing others. I've spent every available cent I got from the money a grateful country gave me when they killed my son, and every penny that I have that I've received in speaking or book fees since then. I've sacrificed a 29-year marriage and have traveled for extended periods of time away from Casey's brother and sisters. My health has suffered. My hospital bills from last summer when I almost died are in collection because I've used all my energy trying to stop this country from slaughtering innocent human beings. I have been called every despicable name that small minds can think of and have had my life threatened many times. The most devastating conclusion that I reached this morning, however, was that Casey did indeed die for nothing. His precious lifeblood drained out in a country far away from his family who loves him, killed by his own country, which is beholden to and run by a war machine that even controls what we think. I've tried ever since he died to make his sacrifice meaningful. Casey died for a country which cares more about who will be the next American idol than how many people will be killed in the next few months while Democrats and Republicans play politics with human lives. It is so painful to me to know that I bought into this system for so many years, and Casey paid the price for that allegiance. I failed my boy, and that hurts the most. Our brave young men and women in Iraq have been abandoned there indefinitely by their cowardly leaders, who move them around like pawns on a chessboard of destruction, and the people of Iraq have been doomed to death and fates worse than death by people worried more about elections than people. George Bush will never be impeached because if the Democrats dig too deeply, they may unearth a few skeletons in their own graves, and the system will perpetuate itself in perpetuity. I'm going to take whatever I have left and go home. I'm going to go home and be a mother to my surviving children and try to regain some of what I've lost. I will try to maintain and nurture some very positive relationships that I found in the journey that I was forced into when Casey died, and try to repair some of the ones that have fallen apart since I began this single-minded crusade to try to change a paradigm that is now, I'm afraid, carved in immovable, unbendable, rigidly mendacious marble. And Cindy Sheehan closes with this. This is my resignation letter as the face of the American anti-war movement. This is not my Checkers moment. That's a Nixon reference, if it's too dated for you. Because I will never give up trying to help people in the world who are harmed by the empire of the good old U.S. of A. But I'm finished working in or outside of this system. The system forcefully resists being helped and eats up the people who try to help it. I'm getting out before it totally consumes me or any more people that I love and the rest of my resources. Goodbye, America. You're not the country that I love, and I finally realize no matter how much I sacrifice, I can't make you be that country unless you want it. It's up to you now. Very powerful words, riddled with emotion, justifiable anger, and a sense of compounded loss. Because as she tried to save us, she lost even more. And she's got a five-acre parcel in Crawford, Texas that's for sale. She said Camp Casey has served its purpose. It's for sale. Anybody who wants to buy five beautiful acres in Crawford, I'll consider any reasonable offer. I hear George Bush will be moving out soon, too, which makes the property even more valuable. Well, there's a lot there to chew on. And as I've said, I am deeply grateful to Cindy Sheehan. In my own exchanges with her, she turned me around. She changed my mind about the practical prospects of impeaching Bush and Cheney. And while I didn't think it was a smart move for her to go to Venezuela and be photographed with Hugo Chavez, and while I think that some of her comments about U.S. policy toward Israel were sometimes twisted and sometimes simply unwelcome in many quarters, I have complete respect for her, and I defend her right to say those things under our First Amendment and our Constitution to the hilt. And what we did see was the systematic public destruction of Cindy Sheehan, as she points out, initially from the right, but not only. So the rest of this hour is yours. The phone lines are wide open, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. Maybe you see some positives here. Maybe you think that by removing Cindy Sheehan as a target, that the anti-war movement in this country can gain some ground. And no one is sacrosanct here, including Cindy Sheehan, and you are welcome, not welcome, but you are free to criticize her. I will not permit any low blows or gratuitous insults. But you can be critical of what she's done or what she said, as I have. I'd like to hear your assessment of her work, her sacrifice, and what we can learn from this and how we can move forward. And keep the pressure on these Democrats who seem so reluctant to do the duty that they know is theirs, to rein in this administration, to end the occupation, and to bring our troops home, not 10 years from now, not 5 years from now, but much sooner than that. We're going to take a break and return for your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Free Speech Zone, and your First Amendment rights are in effect fully. Use them while they last.
I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hey, let's take a look at traffic. We've got a problem. Let's see here. CHP telling us about a problem reported in Saratoga, northbound 85 to Saratoga Avenue. It was a signal alert there. Vehicle fully engulfed in flames. Right lane was blocked. It's been reopened. That is the good news. And so that no longer, it's still, traffic still very backed up, however. Salinas 183 at Davis Road, right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in that crash. Hollister, San Felipe Road at right. There's a grass fire being reported. And it looks like CHP has a lane closed there because of this problem. Aptos Kloster Lane at Cathedral. It's a vehicle into a telephone pole. No other injuries being reported there. So that certainly is some good news. But I guess they call the fire department as precautionary measure. The sport brought to you by JCPenney. It's Heggers Week at JCPenney.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show live in your ear. Whether it's blaring out of the speakers in your automobile or those itty-bitty speakers in your computer, we're taking your calls toll-free right now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's
888-573-8372. Had a good job, I got well paid.
I was
gone for a few days, I want to thank Tony Truppiano from Detroit for sitting in for me. We were thwarted yesterday by technical problems caused by the phone company in Detroit, so he wasn't able to do the show as scheduled yesterday. And I was away in Providence, Rhode Island, where I was very proud to watch my stepson David pick up his college diploma at Brown University. And I also got a special thrill, because a man I've known for 25 years and who came through for me at a critical moment, B.B. King, was up there on the stage receiving an honorary doctorate in music. So he's the new Dr. King, if you don't mind. Here's one of his tunes called Riding with the King. A little help from Eric Clapton on this one. He's gonna check the form. And while I was on the East Coast, I got stuck in a traffic jam in Providence on Friday, and I was forced to listen to a station that carries the Sean Hannity program just to get a traffic report. It was painful, and if there's time later this hour, I'll tell you about that. But first, I want to hear from Daniel in Santa Cruz. Thanks for your call, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B., welcome back. Hey, my heart goes out to Cindy. Can you imagine somebody criticizing a mother of a soldier that was killed in a war? It's unbelievable how anybody could criticize somebody like Cindy, well, or any mother or any parent who's lost a child.
Well, her critics in the media also missed the very simple point. It was a simple, elegant effort on her part. She wanted 15 minutes to talk directly with Bush. She'd been in one of those group settings, and at the time she made some kind of non-critical remarks. But after she'd had time to absorb her loss and learn more about the lies that led us into Iraq, she was angry. And she wanted an opportunity to talk directly with the president. And his cowardice and his refusal, even those times when he drove by or rode by on his bicycle at the ranch in Crawford, just show, you know, how shallow that man is, how unprincipled he is, and really how insensitive he is.
He's afraid of her, and you know, for good reason. She's a powerful woman, but I am not critical. I have no intention of being critical of her. I just think that maybe she was naive in thinking that she might be able to get some sort of result, some tangible result, when really the reward is the battle. The battle itself and doing the work is the reward. So you don't necessarily have to have an instant change, but just the work that you're doing should be the reward in itself.
Well, I hear that, and again, I'm very grateful for what she contributed. I don't think she is going to go away, but I think she is you know, trying to move away from the movement. She got involved in a lot of petty politics and, you know, egos and personalities, and those are there. It's sad to say, but they're there.
Oh, her effect is just beginning to be felt. She's going to be an icon for years and years and years, and basically all I can say is thank God we have Cindy Sheehan.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it, Daniel. Now to Anthony and Eureka. Hello, Anthony. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B.
Hey, turn the radio down, or I'll have to ask Dave to come over and turn it down for you.
It's off.
Thank you.
Now, it's about time. That was a brilliant letter by Cindy Sheehan about how the message is more important. Junior Butterfly Hill suffered that fate. No good deed goes unpunished is what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, secondly, the problem is this, and I'll tell you what the resolution is, the way she sees it. We're trying to resolve a psychiatric problem with a political solution, just as in Iraq, they're trying to solve a political problem with a military solution.
That's very interesting, Anthony.
Now, number three, here's the resolution. Since it's a psychiatric problem, we need psychiatric treatment, which is this. Shame them, harry them, Bush and his relatives and all the relatives, all of them, harass them, satirize them, hound them, pillory them, embarrass them, shame them, 24/7, 365. And the proof that that works, Peter B., is twofold. One, about 3 or 4 months ago, Bush Sr. broke down and cried because his family was being attacked because of the abominable behavior of his son, number one. Number two, the two senators from New York, Schumer, and what's the other one's name? I forget.
Clinton.
Connecticut. The former vice president of Canada.
Lieberman, please be fast. We're going to run out of time,
they
Anthony.
They both said, Peter B., they both said about Clinton, shame him, and it worked.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it five times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Ron Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Live from
from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone, taking your calls toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And this edition of the free speech zone dedicated to Cindy Sheehan. Edwin Starr, Vietnam era, 1970. Message is just as effective and relevant today. So I invite your comments on Cindy Sheehan's resignation as the so-called face of the anti-war movement. If you have a nominee for who should be selected, I mean, nobody voted her in. The media selected her because she camped out at Crawford, and it was, well, there was nothing else for them to report a few years back in August. And I think that together with Code Pink and others, that she fronted many powerful protests and other statements of our opposition to this continuing occupation and the war that brought us to this point. And I've heard some really nasty comments in the media. I was listening to Ron Owens, and many of our listeners are within range of San Francisco's KGO. And it was interesting coming home from the airport last night, Bernie Ward, the token lefty on KGO, well, one of two, was very politely saying that he had heard Ron Owens refer to the Sheehan case, the Sheehan letter, on his opening comments yesterday morning, and he criticized Owens for those remarks. A bunch of people then emailed Ron Owens and amplified what Bernie and some of his callers had said, and Ron repeatedly protested that he's not thin-skinned and proceeded to prove just that. And many people pointed out that he was a cheerleader for the war, and he said, well, I've changed my mind. And that's true, and I'll give him credit for that. But it does not dismiss or minimize his role, among others, in bringing this war to this country at this time. Lines are open for you, and I'd like to hear your comments on Cindy Sheehan or any of the other issues we've been discussing today. We talked about Robert Dreyfus' powerful new article about the different factions that the Bush administration appears to been warned about, but didn't act upon in terms of the fallout after we took out Saddam. We also talked with Sibel Edmonds and journalist Luke Ryland about whistleblowers. And I can't believe that Sibel Edmonds' attorneys have run up legal fees. It sounds like $600,000 or $700,000, and she's on the hook for a major part of that. We also heard from Dar Jamail about the situation in Lebanon, and we talked with Kelly Doherty, who served in Iraq as a member of the Colorado National Guard, and she's executive director of Iraq Veterans Against the War. So if you want to comment on those or the Cindy Sheehan case or anything else that I haven't mentioned, feel free to give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. Next, we go to line two, and let me check my screen. This is Sylvia in Bandon, Oregon. Welcome, Sylvia. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that. Thank you for calling, and you held on for 15 minutes or so. And so please, go right ahead.
Well, I was wondering about the situation of the oil and the disbursement of steam in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have always stated that the war was for oil, and that has been disputed by the Republicans on every occasion. Now, I think we find the truth is coming out with a minuscule amount of oil that would be given to the residents of Iraq,
yeah,
which is 8%.
Well, we had an interesting conversation last week with Antonia Juhas, and as she pointed out, even the Democrats in the so-called benchmarks that were built in and then ripped out of the supplemental appropriation that completes the funding through the end of September for the occupation, the Democrats have embraced this idea that the Iraqis need to come up with an oil-sharing agreement and ratify the U.S. proposed plan that essentially gives most of the oil and the lion's share of the profits to multinational oil companies,
yes,
including a Chinese oil company,
yes,
that apparently is on the verge of winning a contract to develop some oil fields that have never been tapped before.
But are you aware of the fact, you may be aware of the fact, that the Minister of Oil in Iraq now happens to be Chalabi,
yeah,
who was a good friend of our vice president?
Well, not only that, but he was on our payroll first at the State Department and then at the Defense Department. As you know, this phony group, the Iraqi National Congress, which was concocted in Washington by a PR firm, was presented as the face of the loyal opposition that was prepared to return from exile as soon as Saddam was removed. And you are correct that Chalabi continues to be a major force. And how he has managed to reinvent himself now three different times and end up with a powerful job like that simply suggests that the U.S. is ruthless and will put our puppets in wherever we can and endure the ridicule or the fallout, no matter what occurs.
Ruthless or stupid,
yeah,
because you should have been aware of the fact that he had to flee out of Jordan in the trunk of his car.
Well, let me ask you to, next time you're online, go to prospect.org. That's the website of the American Prospect, and that's where Robert Dreyfus' new article that we previewed in our first segment today is published. It's very powerful, and it supports everything that you're saying, but it gives you a little more depth in the long-running feud between the Sadr family and the Hakim family in Iraq, and it just underscores that, number one, the U.S. was warned, and, you know, many different people told the Bush administration, if you take the lid off this thing, you are going to destabilize the region.
Right.
Because, for better or worse, Saddam had imposed a balance of terror or a balance of fear. And, you know, the different factions in Iraq were subdued by his ruthless regime. And we were oblivious whether they, you know, just were dreaming that democracy cures all ills or exactly what. The Bush administration intentionally ignored the very serious and credible warnings that were issued prior to our invasion.
Right. It's tragic that people do not realize that the Muslim religion goes back to the 7th century, and why they should change to be Democrats now is beyond comprehension.
Well, indeed, I have referred to it as the cruel hoax promoted by the United States, because to suggest that Iraq is a place where democracy could take hold is just fatuous. It's very clear to anybody, and you don't have to be an expert or... you know, all you got to do is listen to Bush Sr. and why he didn't go into Baghdad in 1992.
Right.
You don't have to get a Ph.D. Thanks for your call today. I really appreciate it.
Well, there we go.
All right. Now to Columbus, Ohio, and Victoria's on the line. Hello, Victoria.
Thank you, Peter B., for your free speech and Internet radio.
Well, it's my pleasure.
I think that Cindy Sheehan is perhaps the bravest and most honest American today. I say honest because in everything she's ever said, she has been nothing short of honest with the American people.
Right.
And she is a great heroine of mine, and she deserves a rest. And we need to pick up the ball. And one way we can do it is by absolutely resisting electronic voting and absolutely supporting public financing of campaigns. There would be nothing short of a leadership revolution in this country where we would actually be represented by our representatives. And the frustration that is felt among liberal Democrats is palpable,
mm-hmm.
as is made evident in an article in The Hill today, where in a daily cost poll of 17,000 readers, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has sank to an approval rating of 33%. It's an unscientific poll. But it is a reflection of how frustrated we are with the Democrats, who are behaving just like the Republicans in the way that they vote, not in what they say, but certainly in the way that they vote. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
Well, Victoria, I fully support what you're saying, that if we had a true democracy, we wouldn't have legalized bribery of our election officials through campaign contributions, and we would have elections that we could have confidence in, like hand-counted paper ballots. It's as simple as that. But it certainly goes beyond it, and if we look at the Constitution and we look at what the founders had in mind, it was that particularly the House of Representatives would be extremely responsive to the public with short terms, only 2 years, and a need to face the voters and justify their continuing existence as representatives on a two-year basis. And the system that we are talking about has, made it much more difficult for us to hold these individuals accountable.
Yes, and what we have is Tweedledum and Tweedledee. And they agreed to have a battle, and they're not going to let in a third party to raise the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to say is one way we could really support Cindy Sheehan is by supporting third-party candidates. Even if the third party doesn't win, what the third party does is it raises the issues that the other two parties are afraid to raise.
I'm generally sympathetic to that, but third parties will bring us Ross Perot or Michael Bloomberg, and I don't think that is terribly compelling. But Victoria, let me turn to one other angle. You know how Duke Cunningham got bribed? This guy, Mitchell Wade, bought his house and paid him $500,000 more than it was worth. Well, what if we took a page from the righties on that, and we make an offer, and I don't personally have the cash right now to write the check, but Cindy Sheehan bought 5 acres in Crawford, Texas. And I think that we should buy it from her, and we should pay her a premium. We should pay her much more than she paid for it, as a way of repaying her and the losses that she has incurred for speaking out for us. And I'd love to see folks get on the blogosphere and ventilate that idea and see if we can come up with a way to raise the money. Go ahead.
Yeah, as well as Sybil Edmonds, we should pay her legal defense fund.
Mm-hmm.
These are heroes and heroines who deserve our deepest respect and monetary support. And I agree, we should use our money, put our money where our mouth is, because apparently that's the only thing that really screams out loud in Washington.
Yeah. Well, I will put up the first $100. All right, if anybody wants to join in, let me know. We can put together some trust account or find an attorney who could help us with this. But I would love to be able to approach Cindy and say, we'll buy the 5 acres in Crawford, and we'll pay you more than you paid for it, as a way of recognizing the risk that you've taken and the personal losses that you've endured. Victoria, thanks for the call. Always good to hear from you.
Thanks.
You bet. We take a break and return for more phone calls. There are lines available if you'd like to join in. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. See, you can call from anywhere, even Columbus, Ohio. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I,
the show on KRXA 540.
The,
weekdays from noon to two.
Well, there we go, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for a traffic report. And let's get to it. Let's talk about a problem in Aptos, Gloucester and Lane at Cathedral. It's a call and a telephone pole. No injuries. CHP is on scene. And things should be wrapped up there pretty soon. Let's look at, Monterey, no problems to report, according to CHP. Santa Cruz, Salinas, same deal there. So we're going to let you know that we do have a little bit of road work that you folks need to know about, particularly in Monterey County, Highway 25, delays possible on 198, and the San Bernardino County line from 6:30 a.m. to 12:30. That's through the 1st due to a moving closure of the left lane. This report brought to you by Shell Fuels. Low-quality gasolines can allow gunk to form inside your engine. Shell gasoline stops the gunky buildup. Shell made the move. That's traffic on KRXA.
Minutes before the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5 Peter B. The lines are lighting up. Can I just ask you to do me one favor? Can you call earlier in the free speech zone? Because I can now see that we might not get to every caller, and I don't like that. So just keep it in mind. When you hear the number and you know that it's wide open, give us a call. 888-5 Peter B. Back to your calls in a second, but I got to tell you this story. Friday afternoon, stuck in traffic in Providence, Rhode Island, and there used to be a liberal talk station there, an Air America affiliate, but it's gone, replaced by a right-wing station that features Sean Hannity in the afternoon drive position. So I suffered through 20, 30 minutes of Hannity's rants just, you know, waiting to get a traffic report. You know how it is. And he took a call that was either a setup or, you know, he knew what was coming, and he then played his set piece from there. It was a woman who offered just a kind of generic attack on liberals in Hollywood. And then he launched into what was clearly an orchestrated attack on Rosie O'Donnell, complete with sound bites from her last broadcast on The View. And it was disgusting. And, you know, Rosie O'Donnell is a loudmouth. I don't agree with everything she says or the way she says it, but I defend her right to do so. And she has become the new Michael Moore for right-wing hacks. And what's interesting is today in the New York Times, for once, and it's happened just a couple of times in recent years, they acknowledge that there are serious questions about what happened to World Trade Center Building 7.
But the only way it gets published is to link it to the controversy surrounding Rosie O'Donnell's exit from The View, a show I have never watched. And so a guy named Jim Dwyer wrote a piece here where he cites her questions about Building 7, which I fully embrace. We don't know the answers to them. And he airs them out a little bit, and then he dismisses them by citing Popular Mechanics and one other person, and says basically that steel loses its strength at 1,800 degrees, and that's his explanation for why the building came down. And I just find that sickening, because it's a legitimate area of exploration, and the New York Times should be all over it, not just because Rosie O'Donnell cares about it and she quit The View the other day. We go to Jake in Arcata next. Thanks for your call, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. Well, just remember about the New York Times. Remember Judith Miller, how they ran all those front page stories about the so-called weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein had?
Yeah.
You know, the New York Times lost its right to call itself the paper of record years ago.
All right.
Well, just to go on with Rosie O'Donnell real quick, you know, we all know the real reason she got fired. It's because she was starting to talk about World Trade Center Building 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no explanation for what happened. We know what happened. Anybody who watches the video of Trade Center 7 coming down can clearly see it's a controlled demolition. You have the lease owner, Larry Silverstein, admitting that it was, in fact, pulled, which is the industry term for controlled demolition.
Right.
You have, you know, cops on the streets. They have video of cops on the streets warning people to get away from the building because they said it was about to come down. How will those cops know it was going to come down? In fact, we now have, you know, proof that Rudy Giuliani admitted that he knew the trade towers, World Trade Center 1 and 2, were going to come down prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they get all the firefighters out? Why did they send the firefighters in if they knew they were going to come down?
Well, and Rudy's been caught in an inconsistency. You can read about it at Raw Story today. Jake, I got to jump to other callers because everybody called at the last minute here. So you wanted to make a comment about Cindy?
Real quick, I just wanted to, you know, thank Cindy Sheehan and Casey for their sacrifice to the country. And as far as I'm concerned, Cindy Sheehan has every right to take a break. The Democratic Party has clearly frustrated her to the point where she needs a rest.
All right. Thank you, Jake. John in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Peter B., you said you're in for the first $100 to buy the property in Crawford. Well, I'm in for the second $100.
All right, John, do me a favor. Drop me an email and just include contact information and your pledge of $100. I'm not going to collect anything till we talk to Cindy, but we will add up the pledges and see if we can get other people to match it. And we'll let her life quiet down a little bit and maybe talk to her in a week or two and just put an offer out there and say, you know, here's what we'd like to do. Tell us what you paid for it. We'd like to pay you more than you paid for it.
Yeah, somebody needs to congratulate her for being willing to stand up and take some of the smarmiest attacks on her character that I have ever heard.
Well, you just did, and I'll pass that along to her. John, thanks for the call. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com, okay? Thomas in Santa Cruz, you're next. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. I'm in for the third $100. I was with Cindy in Texas and Washington, D.C., and also on the road other places. And She's just an ordinary good person. That's why they don't understand her.
Yeah, she's a real American.
She is.
Yeah. All right, send me an email, Thomas, and I'll add you to the pledge list. We got $300 now. I have no idea what the property costs, but I know we could give her a nice return on that investment, and that would be a pretty neat way to take a page from Abramoff and the corrupt Republicans and show them how it's done.
It's the least we could do.
Yep, thank you. Frank and Marina, you're next. Go ahead, Frank.
I think I'll be on that list too, Peter.
All right.
It goes to show you. I was very sad in reading Cindy's letter yesterday on CommonDreams.org.
Right.
And it goes to show you how disingenuous the Democrats really are. Too many of them, not all of them, but it's up to the troops, like I've said before on your show and others, in Iraq to put down their weapons. The only way they're going to stop this war is for our troops not to fight and to make friends with the Iraqis or invite them in for coffee. They don't want to fight us. They just want to live in peace. We're over there playing Nazi all over again.
All right, Frank. Thank you for the support, and send me an email with your pledge. I appreciate that.
Right.
And we'll pursue this, see if we can buy the Crawford property from Cindy Sheehan. One more call. Harry in Oregon, thanks for checking in.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
Doing okay, thank you.
Good. My wife just called me up with an interesting idea. It may head that way anyways without her opinion. It'd be kind of nice to just buy that property from her, you know, an Oregon Code Pink or whoever, and turn it into like a national monument.
Yeah.
you know, for the Iraq veterans and stuff like that.
I think that's a wonderful idea. And I think to put it, you know, so close to the Bush phony ranch would be an important message that future generations would receive and say, very interesting. And when he retires to Paraguay, then we'll buy his ranch, too.
There you go.
All right, Harry, if you want to pledge some bucks, no pressure, but send me an email. Peter@peterbcollins.com.
Thanks, sir.
We got a lot of calls in. Left one dangling. Sorry for that. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, for another edition.
Happy trails
of the Peter B. Collins Show.
To you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Oceans 18. Finally, a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium in the American Tin Cannery. Oceans 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Oceans 18 opens at 12, stays open late every day. Oceans 18 Miniature Golf.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Please don't get on that airplane. That's what health officials say they told the man diagnosed with a rare form of tuberculosis.
He says that health officials did not tell him to wear masks or isolate himself or do anything like that. And he says he doesn't believe he was putting people in jeopardy.
That's Allison Young, reporter with the Atlanta Constitution. This is Dr. Martin Citron at the Centers for Disease Control.
There were clear several communications between my staff and the individual in Rome, begging and asking him to stay put and not travel.
It is a suspected suicide at Guantanamo Bay.
The Naval Criminal Investigative Service has initiated an investigation of the incident to determine the circumstances surrounding the death.
Mario Alvarez, spokesman for the military at Guantanamo, where a detainee, a Saudi, has been found dead.
The deceased detainee are being treated with the utmost respect. Cultural advisor is assisting the Joint Task Force to ensure that the remains handled in a culturally sensitive and religiously appropriately manner.
NATO says seven soldiers have been killed in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan's most volatile province. A U.S. military official says five of those victims are Americans. The chopper apparently shot down. The Taliban is claiming responsibility. And we're learning today more about a deadly Memorial Day helicopter crash in Iraq.
I'm Barry Bagnato at the Pentagon. The helicopter crash that led to the deaths of eight American soldiers was most likely caused by enemy fire. Joint Chiefs Operations Director Brigadier General Perry Wiggins says the investigation continues.
But it does look like this was a complex attack.
Insurgent tactics keep changing, he says.
We continue to adjust our flight maneuvering and our routes to not become predictable.
Two of the soldiers died in Monday's crash. Six others were killed trying to get to the scene.
U.S. forces also involved in a desperate search for missing British citizens, five of them kidnapped in Baghdad.
The U.S. military won't confirm where the search is concentrated.
We really would be very careful with any information about where we think they are and who's holding them, because that might compromise our ability to go take the necessary actions.
Brigadier General Kevin Bergner said by phone from Baghdad it's not certain who is holding the British citizens, but that some of the reports of militia involvement and the captors wearing Iraqi police uniforms are very troubling. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.